And we'll turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 22 is our text for this afternoon. This weekend, yesterday evening, preached on Proverbs chapter 1 on the warning of wisdom. This morning, Proverbs chapter 3 on wisdom's tree, and now we come to Proverbs chapter 2 on wisdom's path. And some of you may be asking, do they teach you how to count down there in Indiana? How did you get 1, 3, 2? But as we'll see, really what we've done is we've moved through the message of the gospel. Last evening, focusing on the warning about our sin, and then this morning, focused on the atonement of Christ. And then this afternoon, really asking the question, how do we walk the path of wisdom with Jesus Christ? How do we walk in wisdom with Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God? So we'll read Proverbs 2, 1 through 22. Before we read, let's pray. Lord, we pray for your wisdom. We pray for your insight. We pray for your truth and understanding, even as we would hear the reading of your word and then as it is preached. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenants of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. This is the Word of God. If you're familiar with John Bunyan's famed Pilgrim's Progress, you are familiar with the gripping description of the Christian life as a journey down a treacherous path. In one section of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, he describes the pathway of Christian in this way. He says, "The pathway was here also exceeding narrow, and therefore good Christian was the more put to it. For when he sought in the dark to shun the ditch on the one hand, he was ready to tip over into the mire on the other. Also, when he sought to escape the mire, without great carefulness, he would be ready to fall into the ditch. The pathway was here so dark that oft-times when he lifted up his foot to set forward, he knew not where or upon what he should set it next." A dangerous, narrow path. Mire on one side, a ditch on the other, uncertain about what step to take next. It's a gripping picture, and Christians for generations have identified it with it quite naturally. And this afternoon we'll discover it could be found that Proverbs 2 is full of John Bunyan-like language. But most textual scholars would agree that Proverbs 2 was written something like 2,000 years before Pilgrim's Progress. So I think we should say that John Bunyan was using Proverbs 2 language. This passage is all about the pathway of the Christian life. Eight times path or way is used. Verse 8, he guards the paths of justice. Verse 9, every good path. Verse 13, the paths of uprightness. Verse 15, those who are devious in their paths. Verse 18, the paths to the dead. Verse 19, the paths of life. Verse 20, the paths of righteousness. Describing the Christian life as a walk down a pathway. And the question of the text is, what path are you on? Or maybe the question is this, where are you headed? And are you headed toward the pathway or on the pathway of Jesus Christ? And don't miss the vision that's found for us right at the end of the text. Where do we long to arrive? Where is the place we would long to dwell? Verse 21, the upright will dwell in the land. Bunyan spoke of going to journey to dwell in Emmanuel's land. Dwell in the land of Jesus Christ, God with us. And Proverbs 2 has the same vision. What are the steps we take on the pathway so that we will dwell and arrive in the land? What does that life look like? And this afternoon, I want us to consider that. What is that journey? And I want you to really internalize the picture. Proverbs is a visual book. Internalize the picture. I'm walking down a path. I've got my walking stick. I've got my hiking boots. I've got my gear on my back. I know it's going to be rigorous. It's a rugged path. And Proverbs 2 reads as though the trail guide is there with you at the front of the path saying, here's what needs to happen. Here are the steps you take. Here are the dangers you avoid. And ultimately, we know that our guide is Jesus Christ himself, the wisdom of God, who would lead us forward on the path. So how will we find ourselves preserved, protected, delivered on the path of life, and so inhabit the land we long to dwell in? And to answer that question, we need to begin by contemplating the Lord of the path. Contemplating the Lord of the path, and that really drives us actually to verses 6 through 8. Verses 1 to 5 give a call on your life, but verses 1 to 5 are built on the theology of verses 6 through 8. Verse 6 through 8, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards, there's that word, the paths of justice. To understand your walk down this path, it must begin by contemplating, who is this Lord on the path of which I walk? And for some of you, that's not intuitive when you start asking the question, how do I walk this path? Some of you are the type that if you were on that trail guide, the very first question you'd ask your trail guide, what do we do if a snake shows up? How are we going to survive in this thunderstorm? Or how are we going to survive in this condition? And the Christian can begin to talk that way and think that way. I've got to know the answer to this specific problem or that specific problem. But this text says, no, no. First, get your eyes on the Lord of the path. Get your eyes on Jesus Christ. Get your eyes on who it is that guides you on this path. Who is it? Verse 6, it's the giver of wisdom. The Lord is the giver of wisdom. Proverbs isn't simply one man speaking to another or speaking to a son about some wise tips for life. Proverbs is the very wisdom of the Lord. We pray in Ephesians 1:17, we plead that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would give us the spirit of wisdom. You hear the Trinity there. That the Father of the Son would give the spirit of wisdom. That's our hope on the path, that the triune God gives wisdom for the path in front of us. He's not only the giver of wisdom, he's the storer of wisdom. Verse 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. This storing language is image of hidden treasure. The idea that there's hidden treasure stored up in the Lord. Every pirate movie, every great adventure story that you've read since you were a kid, there's hidden treasure to be found somewhere. I still remember reading Treasure Island up in my room as a little boy, enraptured, finding the treasure. And on the adventure of your life, on the pathway on which you walk, you must know this: God holds the treasure chest. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you've got to believe that. You've got to know that where is the place that treasure is going to be found? It's in the Lord of the path itself. And we'll see how that works out later in the text. He's the giver of wisdom. He's the store of wisdom. He is the guard of the pathway. He is the guard of the pathway. Verse 8, he guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Some of us, we look at the path of the Christian life in front of us, the path of the wisdom, life of wisdom we're called to live, and we start to calculate the miles. Our phone tells us the elevation change that's going to come, and it's pretty high. We know how rugged the path is going to be, and the fear comes, how will I ever make it? How will I ever be able to walk that many years? How will I ever be able to somehow get to the finish line? What you have to know is this: it's a very rugged trail, more rugged than you probably realize. And you are not alone. You are not alone. The Lord guards the path of justice. He preserves the way of his saints. For you, as you journey to Emmanuel's land, the Lord's your help, your foot from stumbling, he will always keep. The one who guards your life will never sleep. You'll be safe, protected by the Lord, by his control. From every evil that may come your way, he'll keep your soul. While you go daily out and in your door, the Lord will keep you now and evermore. That's the promise for the Christian on this path, that he is the guard of the pathway, and your rugged journey down the path must start here. If it starts with you, if it starts with what am I going to have to do to get myself through the path of the Christian life, if it's about your effort and your strength, you will bow out the first time a snake comes across your trail. You will be gone by the first thunderstorm. It's not going to work. But if it starts with the Lord, if it starts with the one who is the giver, the store, and the guard, there is hope that you will be preserved on this path of the Christian life of wisdom. And then you start to ask, okay, now what cadence do my steps take? What do my steps look like on this path as I'm hiking along now that I know who the Lord of my path is? And that moves us then back to 1 through 5, verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5 presents an intense picture of seeking and longing after the knowledge of God. It funnels toward verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we seek after wisdom because we long to know more and more of the fear of God. And don't miss the treasure language in verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, treasure my commands within you. Verse 4, seek her, that is wisdom. Seek wisdom as silver. Search for her as for hidden treasures. If he's the Lord of the pathway, and he has the treasure trove, life on the pathway is the pursuit of the treasure of the knowledge of God. Life on the pathway is the pursuit of the treasure of the knowledge of God. Imagine, kids, you're hiking on a trail, some state park here in Michigan, and right at the front of the trail, there's just a sign posted that says, $200,000 have been hidden under a rock on this trail, and whoever finds it gets to keep it. You get to keep the whole thing. Something tells me you wouldn't be the only person hiking on that trail that day. Something tells me there'd be a certain pattern, a certain way of hiking as everyone's trying to find that $200,000. Well, that ought to tell us something about the intensity, the longing, the search, the focus we have. Life on the pathway is the pursuit of the treasure of the knowledge of God. And don't miss, finding the treasure of the knowledge of God is not some means to a better end. Finding the treasure of the knowledge of God is the end. It's what we are longing for. If you're walking on the pathway with fellow Christians and you're making time and you're talking to them about why are you on the path, it'd be interesting to think about what answers you might get. Some people find themselves at some respect on the pathway of the Christian life because they want to be a little happier. They want a bit of order in this area of life. They want their family to be a certain way. Those may be wonderful things. But the end, what are we longing for? We're longing for verse 5. I want to know God. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I want to know Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. I want to fall in fear at the feet of Christ the way Thomas did when he saw the holes in his hands after the resurrection. That's my longing. I want to know Christ. And that better be your longing, because verse 21, whose land is it that you're going to dwell in? It's the land of the triune God. I would have fainted had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We see the goodness of God in the land. The movie Rudy, favorite movie of mine growing up, has this line. It says, having dreams is what makes life tolerable. Somehow, if you just have dreams, that's going to make life tolerable. No. What makes life more than tolerable, what makes life meaningful, glorious, beautiful, is the pursuit of the knowledge of the God we fear. That's what makes life worth living. That we can know God Himself. And verse 1 to 4 guides you to think about, okay, I want to know this God. I want to know the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. What is that going to work? How is that going to work out in my life? And quite simply, it works out as a pursuit of the Word and a pursuit of prayer. Verse 2, incline your ear to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Give yourself to these words that are being taught to you. Verse 1, receive my words. Treasure my commands within you. We come to the Word and we give ourselves, not because we need to check something off a list. We give ourselves because we long to know God. And we long to know Him through His Word. And that's a question. If you're a little stale in your Bible study right now, if you're a little stale in your morning reading, don't forget to ask this question. Or maybe make it the first question you ask after you read, what have I just been taught about the God I fear? What do I know now about God and the person of Jesus Christ that I did not know previously? How does this passage teach me about Christ, the wisdom of God? Scripture is full. The treasure troves are endless of the knowledge of God and His Word. In many ways, we pray then with the exact same heart. Verse 3, cry out for discernment. Lift up your voice for understanding. We cry out. We plead with God. We say, God, I want to know you. I want to fear you. On this path, that's my greatest longing, to come to the knowledge of God. Lord, would you grant that to me? Would you grant that wisdom? God loves to answer prayers that plead for us to know and glorify Him more. Often when I'm counseling someone or counseling a couple and they would come into my office, I begin with Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. I have them read it and I just ask, what are we longing for here? We want to fear God. We want to know Him. How are we going to get there? How are we going to get wisdom even in the exact crisis situation you face right now? We're going to apply our hearts to the Word and we're going to cry out to God for it. And maybe you're in a particular crisis here, even this afternoon, and this is the answer. This is the answer, that you'd be in the Word, seeking His wisdom and crying out to Him for it. And then we ask, okay, as that's happening, I'm giving myself to the Word and the prayer, what's going to happen in my life? What's going to happen in my life? That's verses 9 through 11. Verse 1 through 5 is the activity that consumes us. Verse 9 to 11, what happens as we pursue the knowledge of God. And what happens is this: transformation toward God Himself. Transformation toward God Himself. Verse 9, here's what's going to happen. You will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. Righteousness, justice, and equity. You could do a scriptural study. Three words used to describe the characteristics of the king. The king is to walk in righteousness, justice, and equity. And so to be told that you are going to understand righteousness, justice, and equity is to be told you will be remade in the image of your king. You will be remade in the image of your king. As you seek your king, as you seek the God of the path, you'll become like him. Verse 10, wisdom, it moves to the heart. Wisdom's going to enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Our society has phrases that talk about this idea. We speak of things that make our heart sing, something that's music to my ears. For the Christian, the knowledge of God becomes what makes their heart sing. It becomes what's pleasant to their soul. And many times, in times of despair, or times of discouragement, it's this we long for. How do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? The knowledge of God. Not the solving of my situation right now. The knowledge of God becomes pleasant to my soul. I hope you know some of that. I hope you know that some of that sense of I'm applying my heart to the Word, I'm growing in the knowledge of God, and my soul is being transformed. And as that happens, what's going to happen to you? Verse 11, discretion is going to preserve you. Understanding is going to keep you. Preserve and keep are really language, are really words used to describe a military guard, a military protection. Basically, this text is saying, on the pathway of your life, you're hiking day by day, your feet are getting tired, your legs are worn, but you've got a bodyguard. You've got a bodyguard. The Lord watches over the ways of His saints, and discretion and understanding begin to preserve you on this path. And the way that works is as you're walking, and we'll get to this in a minute, there are going to be summons to take you off the path. You know what those are for your own heart? There will be things that summon you to get off the path, but you are going to have been so committed to His Word, so committed to knowledge, that discretion and understanding are going to say, no, we don't walk that way. We're not going down that route because that's not the path to the knowledge of God. And if you find yourself drifting off the path constantly, find yourself in the Word and then plead, Lord, as I'm walking down this path, let there be greater discretion. Greater understanding. I want to know you. Transform me in this way that it's though I have the bodyguard of discretion on my right hand, the bodyguard of understanding on my left. And ultimately, it's not your discretion or understanding that will save you, but Jesus Christ, the Spirit of wisdom, who is with you to protect and care for you. By the time you get to verse 11, the trail guide, Christ Himself even, has given you the foundation. He's given you the guide on how we're going to go make this march. God is God. He rules the path to the land. We're going to seek Him like a treasure. As we seek, we're going to be protected. We're ready to march. Those are good marching orders. But some of you say, I've got a few questions. What about the attacks that are going to come on the trail? There are specific problems, specific dangers, specific issues that are going to come up or have already come up in my life. And does this path of Christian wisdom in Jesus Christ, does it solve those problems? And the rest of the text is really given to answering that question with one word, yes. Yes. Walking on the path of life is the path of deliverance. Two examples of crises that have come up, that will come up on the path of the Christian life. The first is found, verses 12 through 15. An opposing path of who? The man who speaks perverse things. Those who leave the paths of uprightness. Those who walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil. They delight in the perversity of the wicked. Their ways are crooked. They are devious in their paths. And the particular thing you need to see here is these are the paths of those who have left the paths. They have left the paths of uprightness. And they're standing on their path and they're calling out. They're calling out to the believer, leave your path. Come this way. Come join my path. And in every way, this calling out is really the calling out of apostasy. The calling out to leave the pathway of seeking the Lord, of seeking the knowledge of God. Forsake your faith. Forsake the covenants. And the longing, the call of these men who would speak on the path is that every one of you would drift away, walk through the weeds, walk through the thorns, and get to the path of the apostates. And maybe you in your heart, this is the very path you find yourself somehow constantly shuffling to hear. You get to their side of the road. You hear the voice of those who do not know God. And somehow you find yourself unable to stop listening to their words. I referenced it briefly last night. Prominent Christians, even recently, announcing their apostasy, posting online on their social media pages, their podcasts, whatever, proclaiming, "We found a way. We found a way you can follow. You can get off the path now." And it's a warning. It's a warning. And for the Christian, the question is, how can I not find myself walking down that path? I want you to hear what verse 12 promises to you. It promises deliverance. If you're in the middle of that storm, if you're in the middle of that storm of doubt and despair, and the men of perverse things calling you away, there's a promise to deliver you from the way of the way of evil. You're seeking the Lord. He is your treasure. He watches over you, and He is powerful to deliver you. And use even the truths of verse 1 through 11 as your guide to deliverance. Their voices are calling. My ear is listening to wisdom. I don't have time to listen to you. I'm listening to the wisdom of God. They offer their paths. They are devious. They have their own attractions. My paths are the paths of God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's given the Spirit of wisdom. My paths are the paths of God Himself. I don't need those paths. They offer the joy of evil. But knowledge of God is pleasant to my soul, as it says in verse 10. They offer all kinds of attractions, but no attraction is more pleasing to my heart than knowing God. And so they can keep on talking, they can keep on blabbering, but I'm going to walk the pathway. And in Jesus Christ, I will be delivered by the one who is a shield to those who walk with Him. It's a very serious battle. If you're struggling with this battle, walk the path with others who are seeking to seek the Lord in the face of that call to apostasy. Plead with Him. But maybe then you say, I can actually avoid that voice. That voice doesn't do much for me. But there is another voice. There is another speech that cries out to me, and I find my feet shuffling that way every single time. Can the pathway of life protect me there? The King, verse 16 to 19, says, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Using Pilgrim's Progress type language, by the end of verse 15, you've passed crooked path apostasy. And now you're facing deadly path adultery. Deadly path adultery. We come to the speech of the forbidden woman. In some ways, she's much the same as those men. She's a covenant breaker, and she's making a speech. And with the smoothness of her words, she's inviting you off the path. But her method is very different. Instead of being intellectual, induction, deduction, her method, seduction. Seduction. To summon us off the path, and her death toll grows by the day. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. And we must be honest that the paths indeed of sexual sin to which this refers are wildly enticing and widely traveled. There are many who would never fall into that route of apostasy but cannot avoid the smooth speech of the seductress. And you do need to hear, even as you would this weekend, have come and heard of the wisdom of God, have communed with Jesus Christ through the Lord's Supper, you need to hear the warning this has. Verse 19, you don't regain the paths of life on this route. Going that route, the route of sexual sin, the route that leads to totally forsaking the covenant of your God, that route is the route to your own funeral. And I plead that you are not paving that route. But as we come to this topic in Proverbs, I want you to see how it's framed. Because it is framed the same way the path to apostasy is framed. What's the promise? Verse 12, you're going to be delivered from the way of evil. Verse 16, the paths of wisdom deliver you from the immoral woman. This is framed as promise. This is framed as promise. The paths on the way to the knowledge of God is the pathway of deliverance. And that word delivered is the same word that you'd find in Scripture for Israel being rescued out of Egypt, for David being delivered from Goliath. You will be delivered from the forbidden woman. And at times we find ourselves, you may find yourself so ensnared by her words that they do seem more powerful to you than Goliath, more powerful to you than the forces of Egypt. But God's promise is stronger still. You will be delivered. And the pathway of Jesus Christ is the pathway of deliverance. If you find yourself desperate, if you find yourself desperate, indeed use this passage itself as your sword. The way of wisdom is the way of deliverance. Walk that verse 1 through 11 pathway the same way you would use verse 1 to 11 to deal with the call to apostasy. You use it to deal with the call of the forbidden woman. How could I give myself to her so-called delights when the knowledge of God is pleasant to my soul? How could I give myself for that companionship when God Himself and the person of Jesus Christ is walking with me on this path of life? You must ask, how could that woman bring this destruction? How could I fall into this destruction? How could I give myself to that when the bodyguard of Christ Himself is protecting my way? How can I sliver off this path? I'm so busy seeking the knowledge of God. I'm so busy seeking His treasure. I don't have time. I'm not going to find the treasure if I'm off the path. I don't have time for this. The knowledge of God, it's a treasure. It's in front of me. And by the Spirit, there is a promise here of deliverance for the one walking in the Lord of wisdom. And I want you to see here that you're not just delivered. You're not just delivered from crooked path apostasy or deadly path adultery. You are delivered, verse 21, to inhabit the land. The wicked will be cut off, but there's a land in front of you. The new heavens and the new earth. The place of eternal dwelling with God. The place of the tree of life. The place of Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God. Christ not only accompanies you on the path, He is your looking, He is your longing in front of you on the path. I will be there, and I will be with my Savior as I walk these rugged trails. I don't know where you are this evening on the path. Maybe you've just started. Maybe you feel like you're approaching the end. Maybe you find your feet in the thorns as you've slithered off the path. Maybe you're on the path, but you hear those voices crying out of temptation. Wherever you are, know this, there is no greater treasure than walking the path in Jesus Christ. And never forget this as well. As you walk the path, you are not the first to go down. There is a cloud of witnesses, and even Jesus Christ himself walked the path. Satan summoned him off. Even Peter himself said, "Far be it from you, Lord. This will never happen to you." The voices were summoning Christ off the path day by day. And even for those who he knew would fail, the likes of Peter who jumped off the path so rapidly and quickly that evening, it shocked even Peter himself. Even for those who would slide off the path, Christ went to the cross, and he walked that path, and he hung there and he died for sinners like you and me. And now Christ is risen. Christ is risen, and he's leading us on the path to Emmanuel's land. So let us be those who walk the path in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wisdom of God. You call our whole lives to be lives of wisdom. And Lord, we know the path is treacherous day by day, hour by hour, year by year. And Lord, each of us finds ourselves in a different place on this pathway of life. But Lord, we know that you call us to pursue the paths of life. So grant strength by your Spirit that we would walk in this way. And that we would rejoice in you for all eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.